You and I live in a society that we're so used to freedom that it's actually turned into an entitlement mentality. That you and I are so used to going where we want to go and buying what we want to buy and living where we want to live and doing the job we want to do. We're so used to living this way that we actually are starting to believe that it is our right. That we are entitled to it. That somehow somebody owes me. The world owes me freedom. I get to do whatever I want. Most or at least half of the world that we live in do not live free like you and I do. We have become so entitlement-minded that people really do believe that they deserve something. That we've come adapt to thinking that somebody owes me a good life. I deserve good and nice things. I deserve to say what I want to say. People owe me the ability to do what I want to do and to live the way I want to live. That it's owed to me, it's my right, and I am entitled to it. That is not the case. You and I do enjoy these great and wonderful things. But they aren't just automatic. Every human being don't have these things. But you and I do. Praise God. We have these things. You and I can live this way. This morning, I want to spend a few minutes talking about this. It's hard to comprehend the cost. And honestly, as I think about this and as I read the book and as I see what's going on in our world, it's hard for you and I who get up every day and live our lives however we want to live, for you and I to really comprehend and understand until I got into the stories of this book, Chris, until I realized that these are real human beings sacrificing everything that they have. It gave me a new appreciation, but still I don't know if I can fully comprehend the cost that people have paid for us to be here today. There's three areas of that I want to talk about. And number one is this, the cost of our freedom. Can we comprehend the cost of our freedom? That there are enemies in our world that don't want us to be free. That not every human being lives in freedom. You and I do, and the tremendous cost of that. And even as I think of the cost, I need to say this. As much as I realize that this is not a popular way to think anymore these days, and even maybe you're here today, that you are just absolutely against war. I'm against war. Nobody likes war. I mean, that's ridiculous. We all want peace. But you and I have got to understand, and I wish America would understand, that we can't have peace just by wishing for it. We can't have peace just by saying, oh, live and let live. If we have the idea of live and let live, sooner or later somebody's going to come down your street and break into your house and rob everything you have. Possibly beat you up, you may be raped or even murdered. Because this idea of just closing our eyes and just saying, well, we just want peace, is a great idea if everybody understood that. But you know what? The criminals don't understand that. You and I enjoy freedom. We enjoy driving down the street and, you know, as you pull out here and drive down 95, that there is a level of safety that you drive in only because somebody is not going to be going 160 miles an hour down the wrong lane because we have police officers keeping us in peace. The reason that you can sit on your front porch in relative safety is because we have police officers who are willing to risk their lives. If you're here this morning, and here again, I'm trying to be so careful. I don't mean to make this too harsh. But we have got to understand, if there's a rapist running around in your neighborhood, to just sit around and say, but I just want peace. You know what? Policeman, I don't want you to come and arrest this guy. I just want to live in peace. That he will continue to rape and hurt and harm everybody on your street until he comes to your house. That peace sometimes is only found, is only purchased when people are willing to go fight and defeat an enemy that is out to rob us of our peace. I believe that as a nation, we enjoy such peace. We enjoy so much. Do we comprehend the tremendous cost for you and I to live the way we live? There's a saying about the signers of the Declaration of Independence, where they said, "Your generation will not have any idea how much it costs our generation for you to have peace." But the last line is gripping. They say this, "I hope you will make good use of it. The tremendous cost for us to be free, I hope we make good use of it." You ever wonder what happened to the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence and the price that they paid? Listen to this.
John Adams wrote of the Declaration of Independence, "I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure it will cost us to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet through all the gloom I see the rays of ravishing light and glory. I can see that the end is worth all the means. This is our day of deliverance." Have you ever wondered what happened to the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence? In doing so, they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to their new country. 17 fought in the ensuing war. 5 of the signers were captured by the British during the war, although only Richard Stockton of New Jersey is said to have been imprisoned solely for having signed the Declaration. Thomas Lynch of South Carolina was arrested in 1780 and held on board a British prison ship for a year. During his imprisonment, his plantation was sacked. 12 others had their homes ransacked and burned. Most of the homes that were destroyed were in the South at the time, when the British had adopted a scorched earth policy against the colonies in an effort to gain support of Southern loyalists. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship swept from the seas by the British Navy and, after making several bad investments, was forced to sell his home and properties to pay his debts. Colonel Thomas McCain of Delaware was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in the Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. Legend has it when Thomas Nelson Jr. was told the British General Cornwallis had taken over his home for British headquarters, he replied, "Blow the damn thing down. Nelson's house is still standing at Yorktown, and there are cannonballs embedded in its east walls." Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. Mrs. Lewis was captured by the British, but was eventually released in an exchange for a British officer's wife. Mrs. Lewis died 2 years after her release. Altogether, 11 signers had their homes and properties destroyed. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and grist mill were laid to waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves, returning home to find his wife dead and his children vanished. A few weeks later, he died of exhaustion and a broken heart. 2 other signers, Morris and Livingston, suffered similar fates. Abraham Clark of New Jersey had 2 of his sons captured by the British during the war. The son of John Witherspoon was killed in the Battle of Germantown. What kind of men were these 56 rebels who signed the Declaration of Independence? These were men of means, interested in the well-being of their fellow countrymen. 22 were lawyers and 9 were judges. Stephen Hopkins had been governor of Rhode Island. 18 of the signers were merchants or businessmen, 14 were farmers, and 4 were doctors. Although 2 others had been clergy previously, John Witherspoon of New Jersey was the only active clergyman to attend. The signers of the Declaration of Independence knew they could have been targeted by the British as traitors. They showed tremendous courage and bravery by willingly putting their names on a document that could bring about their deaths. So let's be thankful for these patriots. It is not too much to ask for the price they paid. Remember, freedom is never free.
World War I, II, Korea, Vietnam, the Persian Gulf, the Middle East. Up to date, our freedom. You and I living where we want to live. Going where we want to do, being the job, worshiping the way we want, being able to speak out the way we do, has cost just under 1.1 million American lives.